Good afternoon. You're listening to Community Radio 3CR on 855 on your AM dial. You can listen to us on 3CR Digital, or you can catch us on the podcast via 3CR's website. If you're wondering where your regular program is, today is a day of special programming for International Disability Day. We will, of course, be returning to regular programming next Monday. Today you are listening to Deconstructing Mental Health for the next half hour. My name is Pat Williams, and I have a mental health diagnosis. In the studio with me today are Shelley and Heidi. Welcome to the show, Shelley.
Thank you.
Okay. Whilst Heidi gets herself sitting down, as I previously said, my name's Pat Williams, and I have a mental health diagnosis of bipolar affective disorder. Shelley and Heidi are both mental health advocates, and today we're hoping to have a peer-to-peer discussion about issues surrounding mental health. Good morning, Heidi. How are you?
Good, thanks. Good, thanks.
You're great. Okay, well, both of you, thanks very much for taking half an hour or an hour out of your day to come in here and have a discussion with me. I guess I'll start with the first question for either of you. Are you both comfortable mentioning your own mental health diagnosis? And I suppose the more important thing, are you self-aware of your symptoms?
I am now, more or less.
More or less.
Yeah, with many, many years of help, the right help.
I can say the same thing myself, yeah.
Makes a huge difference, yeah.
Yeah, I am too. My diagnosis changes over the years a bit, but I definitely know all the recipe for each of them, so I know what's going on at the time, I think, so yeah.
And so by being self-aware of your symptoms, does that make it easy to self-manage when in the periods when you're not dealing with people that are there to support and help?
Yeah, absolutely, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a few things. I have depression, or major depression, anxiety, or panic disorder. I think that got upgraded last year.
Upgraded.
That's what I said. Upgraded. And then I have PTSD. But the major one I have is dissociative identity disorder, which is used to be known as multiple personality disorder.
Yep.
And that's
a major
part of my life, obviously. Mm-hmm. In fact, walking out the door last night, my mum said, I said I was a bit nervous. Mum says, oh, just be yourself. And I said, are you joking me right now? And she didn't realise that she'd made such a joke. And, yeah, and she laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed.
Well, good that you've got people around you that can have a sense of humour about it. Do you find that helpful at all?
Oh, very much. It is funny. Mm. I have seven alters, including myself, Shelley.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I first got diagnosed, I was living with two of my best friends, and they were amazing, and we'd go out. And at the time, I think I only had four that were diagnosed. And so, yeah, we'd go out and we'd say, oh, table for three, and they go, oh, you mean table for seven, you know. So it really helps. Humour is very good.
Yep, sure.
I think sense of humour is one of the best tools you can have with dealing with mental illness. Like, I know, like, comedy for me, just even watching comedy on TV, it just lifts me out of a bit of a mood or something. So
absolutely.
And, you know, I got into stand-up last year, and writing comedy is...
Wow.
Yeah, I really recommend it. Just writing, writing for a screen or radio or something, or, you know, or just put it in your daily life. It just helps so much to have a sense of humour.
Oh, it does, yeah. And especially with my DID, it's quite amusing because there's, as I said, so there's seven of me, but some are small children, and others are kind of older, and it's kind of bizarre. Like Greg this morning, he's about 10. He comes out a lot, and he dressed me this morning, so we couldn't leave the house without, you know, our Marvel belt.
Okay.
You know, and I had to talk him out of wearing my normal baseball cap and put, you know, a headband on.
Yep. Sure,
things like that. Sure. It's pretty funny.
Yep. And do you find that, did you ever have a period with the DID where you weren't aware of the personalities and what they were doing?
Up until about 10 years ago. I was only diagnosed about 10 years ago, but there were symptoms ranging all the way back to when I was a child. So basically what happened, I was sexually abused by my father, who's now in jail, thank God, and for many, many years. And basically a personality popped up or was created when that personality couldn't stand it anymore, the trauma, because it's very psychological as well as physical.
Yeah.
Sure. So, yeah, so I'm consequently, I have like a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old, and, you know,
okay. Yeah.
As they develop. Right. So, yeah, many, many years I had many psychological, psychotic episodes. And, yeah, waking up in a hospital, not knowing who I was.
Mm. Now, I'm just going to go off script with my questions just for a moment, because I think Heidi brought up something in terms of writing and how, you know, doing creative things can be quite helpful for people with a mental illness. I know, like as I said, I have bipolar affective disorder, so that can range from things like depression to being manic, where, you know, I'm doing, you know, maybe 3 times what, you know, a normal person would achieve in one day, constant racing thoughts and, you know, new ideas popping into my head every, you know, 3 to 5 minutes. And, yeah, look, that can be very, very interesting to be around if people aren't aware that I have bipolar and I'm manic. And, you know, who's this crazy dude? What's, you know, has he just been snorting lines of coke or speed or something? And, yeah, but one of my things, and it was something I've wanted to do since I was very young, is creative writing. And so for me, sometimes, you know, there's the idea of, well, do I write stories about my own life experiences that include my mental illness? Do I write characters with mental illness, or do I just, you know, or do I go for a broader audience where the characters are, you know? But, yeah, so, I mean, you mentioned, so you also do a bit of music as well, Heidi?
Yeah, so I'm a multimedia artist, so I don't settle on any one thing. And I think the best thing about being a multimedia artist is that you can do the same story in different ways. So like you're saying, you know, you're not sure if you want to do it this way or that way. If you're like a mixed media, like illustration, writing, music, comedy, filmmaking, you can tell the same story but in really different voices. So I love it. I absolutely recommend everyone just go out and just start drawing, writing, you know, just put what's going on in your head onto paper. And I will buy stocks in paper just to make sure people with mental illness still have access to pen and paper in 10 years' time, I reckon.
You're talking about the voices. I'm like, I literally have the voices that will do different things.
Exactly. So speaking very literally when I say that.
Yeah.
So with me too. I have schizoaffective. So hearing voices is part of my, you know, my get up. So I just, getting those on paper. And
I mean, it's probably a little more common in stand-up comedy that we have people with, you know, a range of disabilities, you know, often mental health issues, who will do stand-up comedy around what happens in their day-to-day life, because it's their life experience.
I think you have to have a little bit of humour about it, or you literally just go nuts, and you can go very south very quickly, you know, but also, you know, being open about it and not being ashamed. So, I mean, that's a huge thing. I very rarely tell anyone about my DID because I've had people physically step away from me and kind of look at me weird, et cetera, et cetera. But there's that whole stigma.
Mm. Oh, look, the stigma is a big deal. Like, without going into too much detail about my own history and my own personal story, I grew up, lived with for the first 15 and a half years of my life with a father who was paranoid schizophrenic. And once he wasn't able to work anymore, and he was on a disability pension, and his mental health became, let's say, less stable. The gaps between his schizophrenic episodes and his normal psychology got shorter and shorter, and you know, he dressed badly and didn't look after himself, and it was quite normal to walk around the suburb I lived in and have people cross the street because they couldn't look us in the eye because we were the family with the crazy dude.
Oh, exactly. I mean, with my DID, there's Hollywood have made millions out of people with multiple personalities.
And, oh, haven't they?
I mean, you know, you get the odd kind of funny film like Me, Myself and Irene with Jim Carrey. That was pretty funny. But you do get other ones that are usually thrillers or horrors. And that kind of, you know, and that's what people think of. In fact, immediately, if you're old enough, you'll remember the movie Sybil.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, and that's what people would say. They go, oh, my God, like Sybil. And they would stand away from me. And I'm like, no, I'm not a psychopath. You know, I went through a trauma and this is what's happening. I'm dealing with it the best I can. And, you know, it's...
Sure. Well, we'll go to a quick community service announcement and then we'll come back with a bit more chat. And we'll also have a live music track from Heidi. So, yep, let's go to the community service announcement now, Pete. We'll come back in a minute or so.
Disability culture. What is it about? You can live life free. You can live life proud. You can be living out loud. Pass the word.
The revolution.
Coming out, getting down, making it big time. Disability cool. Disability hot. The red hot power of different with a capital D. Flaunting it. Sequins on the scars. I'm ready for my close-up. Mr. DeMille. It's all these magnificent bodies, electric, downright, flat out, digging it, digging it, digging it, digging it, digging who I am, me, in all my cripple holdings, coming at you from the inside out. Pass the word.
And you're back listening to Community Radio 3CR. My name's Pat, and it's a special day of programming today. Today is International Disability Programming, so thanks very much to Viv Marlowe, who would normally be in this slot doing some Koori and Original Nations issues programming. I've got Shelley and Heidi in the studio with me. All three of us have a mental health diagnosis, and we're discussing mental health issues today. So I'm just going to jump into one more question. And what are the things that you find helpful in maintaining good mental health? I know we've sort of covered this, you know, when talking about writing and creativity, but are there other things that you find helpful?
Surrounding yourself with other people who get it. Like, just completely do not hang out in communities where people will step back from you. I surround myself with people with mental illness because it's just normal state for us, and people don't harass you if you say no, I don't feel like going out.
That's a huge thing. I get a lot of, unfortunately, the trauma etc. has brought on a lot of physical, so I have fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue. So, but I do the same. I've found that getting rid of toxic people in my life, and thankfully I've found myself some amazing group of people. I play a lot of ice hockey, which is a bit odd for someone in my situation, but physically and mentally it's fantastic. The hockey community is very good.
Do you know
good.
Sandy Jeffs? Sandy Jeffs is like the queen of mental health madness advocacy. She's a poet, and her hockey is her thing.
Oh, really?
Shout out to Sandy, because you and her need to...
Yeah. Oh, ice hockey has been a lifesaver. Again, you know, surrounding myself, and I was in theatre for 20 years, so I've got a good group of best friends that I can tell anything to, and it's made my life, you know, but also I've gotten professional help. I've finally found a psychiatrist that would actually see me. That's another story in itself. But
yeah, that's a huge story.
Getting
to the point where you find a mental health professional that you can actually work with that
just doesn't medicate.
Absolutely. That was huge. I went through a good 10 years of going through different psychologists and different, and my symptoms were getting worse, and I was getting worse, and I was, you know, doing not very good things to myself. And finally, literally, I caught a break. It was literally in the yellow pages, but I saw him and I thought, here we go again. I'm just going to tell my whole story, because someone had said to me one time, oh, I said, well, can you help me? And they go, no, I can't. It's above my pay grade. But wow, your story is so fascinating. Keep going. And I said, I'm not a sideshow. This is my life.
Yeah.
I'm literally trying to live.
I think it's really important to find specialists who deal with exactly what you need to deal with.
Yep.
Most psychiatrists and stuff in the public, they just go like one size fits all, go to them for everything. But what I've found in the last couple of years is find a psychologist, because psychologists are the ones you need to sort of, you know, talk your story
through. To do the talking and listening stuff with.
They're great. And so find one that specifically deals with anxiety or trauma or abuse or, you know, AS. Find someone, like, you wouldn't take your car just to a, you know, a general garage to fix a tyre. You know, you go to a tyre place. So it's the same with our mind and our heart and our spirit, that we honour each story individually, and we only tell the people who honour those stories.
Oh, yes. I my psychiatrist that I ended up getting referred to ended up being the lady that sent me to him saved my life. Like, literally, he said to me, and she must have known it, and he said to me, yes, you have multiple personalities. And I said, I'm sorry, what? What? And then it all made sense. And we've been working. So, yeah, it's made a massive difference.
Mm-hmm. Now, look, as fantastic as this discussion is, I'd just like to break it up with a, we might go to a quick, very quick community service announcement because we've got Heidi, Heidi coming back with a live music track. So, Heidi, just want to grab your guitar for us. And, we'll be back in 30 seconds, 40 seconds or so. Okay, you're back listening to Deconstructing Mental Health, a show about mental health issues. Today we have a live tune to be performed live in the studio. So, Heidi, if you can tell us the name of the song and then just take it from there for us.
This is a song for anyone who's ever had people take two steps away from them when you've told them what you're going through. It's called Freaky Dream. The only time I was ever cool was when I smoked a cigarette at school. Even then it was Alpine. The only time I was in the in crowd when I was put in hospital, looking for the remnants of my mind. But it's not cool to be broken in what should be a time when every dream you had is taken by the nightmare in your mind. They take two steps back when you tell them where you've been. This gets a freakier dream. Hope there's angels watching over me. Used to look for diamonds when coal was good enough. Wanna go up to the stars. Friends kept me up at night and we'd have a party and then a fight. I worked real hard. To be broken in what should be a time when every dream you had is taken by the nightmare in your mind. You take two steps back when you tell them where you've been. This gets a freakier dream. Hope there's angels watching over me. Not cool. that is taken by the nightmare in your mind. They take two steps back when you tell them where you've been. This gets a freakier dream. Hope there's angels watching over me. Hope there's angels watching over me. Hope there's angels watching over you.
Okay. We're listening to Community Radio 3CR 855 on your AM dial. And today is a day of special programming for International Day of Disability. This half hour is all about mental health issues, and that was a live music track from one of my guests, Heidi, and the song was, that was Freaky Dream, was it?
That's right, Freaky Dream. Mm-hmm.
Freaky Dream.
I loved it.
And you've got a real talent there for singing, playing guitar and writing, so I'd encourage you to do everything you can with that talent, Heidi.
Thanks, Pat. And it all came out of the psych ward. Frankston Psych Ward in 1994 was the first time I ever picked up a guitar.
Right.
So thank you, Frankston Psych Ward.
Yeah, thank you.
So the psych ward's done something useful for someone out there.
I get very creative when I go into hospital.
It's the only blank walls for art shows. It's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Okay. Well, seeing how we've covered most of the other, we've only got about 7 minutes left of the show, and we've covered most of the things
I
wanted to.
Can I spruik an event?
Yes,
so,
please.
So
please.
We were talking about film before, and it so happens that I help run a film festival specifically for mental health filmmakers with mental illness. So if anyone out there would like to make a film about mental illness, a short film, it's called the Mojo Film Festival. If you Google it, Mojo Film Festival, you'll find us. And we hold the screening on World Schizophrenia Day on May 24th at the Melbourne Town Hall. So make these stories about mental illness that don't involve, you know, what you were saying before, you know, psychopathic serial killers and things like that. And get in touch with Mojo Film Festival.
Well, look, I mean, there's such a broad spectrum of the experience of mental health that it doesn't have to be just about people being violently psychotic.
Oh.
People can have a psychosis that take a wide and broad range of emotions, intellectual ideas, etc., etc. And this is the thing that we need to get. I guess this is the point of having a show like this today, so that we can, you know, break down some of that, some of those misconceptions. Mm. Now we've only got 5 minutes left, so I'm going to got one more question, and that is, if you are medicated, what do you find helpful about medication, and are there any things that you find unhelpful with regards to medication that you're on?
I'm on Seroquel, and it's the number one drug for schizophrenia, and I was one
I'm on that too.
Hey!
I'm on it as well for bipolar, actually, there we go.
Proven fact. So AstraZeneca, they must be raking it in because that's a drug, you know, worldwide.
So many people use it.
They use it in prisons to, you know, quieten people down.
Oh, God.
It's an incredible drug. So with all its, you know, controversial things, it also has kept me alive these last couple of years. And I can't say whether that's because it was working or because my brain can't survive without antipsychotic chemicals now. So it's a very controversial issue.
It's the same with me, I think. I was on different antidepressants because, of course, that's what they actually originally diagnosed me with, borderline personality disorder.
Okay.
With that comes a massive stigma of people being violent. And, you know, and that's not always true. But usually what it means is that people would be more violent towards themselves. So you obviously will find people, but you find people with depression and schizophrenia and various other.
Well,
it can be anything.
The media for that. It's
exactly.
Mainstream media that that stigma.
But the
people who self harm come from a range of different experiences.
Oh, exactly.
Not necessarily something that would be diagnosed as a mental illness either.
No, that's right. And people got more scared of that because I started self harming when I was in was I about 15.
Can I just chuck in a little I do public speaking around this, and when issues around self-harm are raised in public, we've actually now got to do a care call out as well. So if these issues, can I just do this, Pat? Is that all right? So if what we're talking about is raising stuff with you with PTS, please, please, please go speak to someone now or call Lifeline. Does anyone have the number for Lifeline hanging around? It's like 13, 11, 14 or something like that.
That sounds about correct to me. I don't have it on me. But, yeah, I've got it stuck to my fridge at home for myself. And, I would have to say that being medicated is probably has a lot to do with me being reasonably stable and the fact that I'm still here and I haven't decided to opt out of life.
131114.
131114. Yeah. Okay, so any issues have been raised for you today in listening to this show, anyone out there with a diagnosis, please, please, please call if it's raised any issues for you today. We don't want you sitting there feeling unwell and having a bad day as a result of having listened to the show.
Mm. PTS triggers. They're everywhere you go. Look, into the supermarket.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Smells or something else. I do that. My panic attacks will come from something random, and it could be from something smell or something something said, and absolutely brings on another memory, and then that memory goes into and I get manic as well, so I get hyper and then I have the opposite effect. Mm-hmm. So I have medication, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to take it.
Okay, well,
if it's scripted,
absolutely. Description. Well, look, we're
trying not to self-medicate. It does not work.
We're actually coming to the end of our half hour here, so I'd just like to, for the last half hour, you've been listening to a program called Deconstructing Mental Health. I am Pat Williams, and in the studio with me today have been Shelley and Heidi. They're both mental health advocates as well as people with a mental health diagnosis. Coming up next will be a program called Chronically Chilled. So stand by for that. We're going to go to a quick community service announcement and get out so Mario can get in.
Cheers.
Thank you.
You're all welcome. Thanks.